Right back up here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty. You can check us out on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, all those things. Put us on your TV, put us on your phone while you're getting ready for work. Somebody mentions Joe Tooney is a Hall of Famer.
I'm here for that. I mean, absolutely here for that.
Is Brian Waters in?
Should be.
I feel like that's the same argument.
Yeah, but I'm here for both of those guys.
Now, Tooney's won a ton of rings. Brian Waters, I think, won one in New England.
Did
I could
he
be wrong.
Get one at the end there?
I thought maybe he got one in New England.
Why should that matter, though? Ring?
No, I'm talking about Brian Waters.
Did he win one at the end of New England?
I know he went to New England. I don't know if they won it, though.
I don't know if
he,
but like.
That sucks if he's on that undefeated team.
No, he was not on that team because he was
here. So that was 07.
Yeah, because he was here with Pioli and Haley for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. He's the most solid human being. Like you pat that guy on the shoulder. You're like, oh my God, this guy. Like, he was unbelievable. You know, he was a defensive lineman for the Jets or the Cowboys that was never drafted. Came here to Kansas City. They moved him to the offensive side. I think he became, you know, next to Will Shields, the best guard that this franchise has ever seen.
Right. Speaking of a solid human being, missed him last week. Vocal cords were a bit out. Got to protect that voice, baby. But our guy, Vin Maller, he'll join us now.
It is time to talk to our guy, Ben Maller, World Series champion on Fox Sports Radio. And of course, you can catch him overnights right here at 96.5 The Fan, all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And that's where we're going to be next Saturday, Ben. We're going to fly into town. You're going to go to The Landing in Liberty. We're going to have some fun. And then we're going to hit the Chiefs game the day after. So the Mallerpalooza is headed to KC.
I cannot wait. Listen, I'm counting down the days on my phone, my smartphone here to the Maller meet and greet. And we're going to do it in the afternoon. People have been asking me, guys, they've been like, when are you going to do it? You know, we're bringing your show and my show together. It's like a great TV show partnership, in this case, radio, obviously. But we're going to meet at 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock. On that Saturday before the Chiefs play the Broncos. So a week from Saturday, we'll be there, eat a lot of chicken fingers. We're going to hang out, tell stories we can't tell on the radio, and just have a great time. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone. I know some of my guys are flying in from around the country. I have a listener from Tennessee who's going to be flying in. But I want to meet all the listeners. All you guys that have been listening over the years here on The Fan. Because now we're on FM. You guys are big time on FM. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. Week from Saturday, come one, come all, and we'll be there at least 2 hours. Maybe we'll stay longer. Who knows? But at least 2 hours. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to you wearing your world championship hat. But, I mean, more importantly, how do the Yankees recover from that fifth inning? I mean, I've never seen a meltdown like that in professional sports. That's Buckner times 10.
Yeah, that's you know what reminds this is an outdated reference. Remember in football when Ernest Biner fumbled with the Cleveland Browns? That's an old school reference. Look it up on the internet against the Broncos. But yeah, for Aaron Judge, he's the captain. He set the tone for the Yankees by butchering the ball in the outfield, and then Volpe makes the error. We were texting during the game, and it's like, you know, it did not look good for the Dodgers. The Yankees had the game in the bag, and they cut open the bag, and I don't think you recover from that right away. If this was the old Yankees, they would fire Aaron Boone today. He would be fired. Brian Cashman would be fired. But it's not. I mean, the Yankees are run by the kids, and the kids will be like, well, you know, it's not his fault and all that stuff. But this is going to haunt Aaron. This is going to haunt Aaron Boone. It's going to haunt Aaron Judge. And the Yankees also have a problem where Juan Soto is, you know, he's got one foot out the door. He's got a wandering eye, and he's looking around. He's like, whoever offers him the most money, he doesn't care about winning. He wants the money. I get it. He wants the bag, so he's willing to leave the Yankees. He would sign with the White Sox if they offer him more money. He doesn't care.
So where do you think he does end up? Because it was funny, after the game, they asked him. He goes, every team's available. 18-1 odds to come to Kansas City. I'm pushing for Juan Soto to be a Royal, Ben.
Well, if we can get him to come to the Landing and get him on Saturday, next Saturday, we'll have him have the Ben Maller chicken fingers. And a lot of people don't understand this. I've tried to explain the reason that the Chiefs have been so good and Andy Reid so happy is because of the chicken fingers at the Landing with my name on them. I think Juan Soto ends up with the Mets. I mean, that would be the ultimate get back by Stephen Cohen, the owner of the Mets. The Mets were in the NLCS. They got a lot of money to burn. Soto would fit perfectly in that lineup. He gets to stay in New York. You get to stick it to the Yankees. Now, I've been told they always have this gentleman's agreement that they don't go out and get the other team's players, the Mets and Yankees. I've heard that over the years. But I say fooey to that. I mean, this is a big-time player, and you get him for the next 10 years, he's going to sign one of those $500 million contracts. That's the thing, guys. Like, Bob, you know, with the Nationals, Juan turned down $300 million. With the Padres, he turned down $400 million. So he's got to get $500 million minimum to make that work.
Keeping it kind of in the New York market, there's a funky game tonight, Ben. Houston and the Jets, and everybody here, besides Bob, because he's got it figured out, is trying to wrap their heads around why the Jets are favored in this game tonight, right? Like, Bob says the obvious, right? Houston is injured, short week, travel, AFC matchup. But again, like, say it out loud. Like, do me a favor, say it out loud. The Jets will beat the Houston Texans and make it make sense.
Yeah, I'll make it make sense because, as you just laid out, the Texans have no wide receivers. And Houston, by the way, has been even though they got a good record, they have not been I don't put them in that dominant category. They have a good record and all that. They've been basically played to the level of their competition for the most part this season. And it's going to be kind of a cool night in New York, and you got, you know, the Jets. This is the last go for the Jets, right? They're pretty much done already, but I do think they're going to win it. I think that it makes no sense. It's the NFL, but you put all the different variables with the injuries that the Texans have had, and the Jets, you know, who have been close, get embarrassed by the Patriots, which is an unforgivable loss.
Who are their wide receivers?
Well, they have the great Devontae Adams.
I'm talking about the Patriots.
Oh, the Patriots. Well, they have no wide receiver. That is
exactly
true.
They have Drake May, and the Texans have C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell and Joe Mixon, but yet we're still saying the Jets will win.
Well, here's what you do, Dusty. Then you take your paycheck and you go down to the the casino and you let it all ride on the Texans.
Yes, sir.
And then you'll be eating cans of or bags of ramen you'll be eating, but that's fine. You know, it's okay.
Ben Maller, our guest here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, next Saturday, he'll be at the Landing in Liberty with all of us from 2 until 4 hanging out. And we'll probably be talking about the Chiefs maintaining that undefeated status, winning this weekend against Tampa Bay, leading into that game against Denver. I mean, the odds are starting to look really good. Other than the Buffalo game, this team really could be an undefeated regular season football team.
Yeah, I'm not there yet because they'll have one week where it just doesn't work. Like, every team has that. Now, if they win that game where they shouldn't win, then okay, fine. But that they got to prove they can do that. But yeah, the Buccaneers, just like we talked about with the team from Houston, they don't have any wide receivers. Tampa Bay, as you guys I'm sure have talked about all week here with the injuries the Buccaneers have had. Although I do think that line is a little high. I could see a backdoor cover in that game on Monday night. But as far as the big picture for the Chiefs, yeah, as long as Mahomes is out there and the way the defense has played this year, they're going to have to lose the game. I don't think someone's going to beat them based on who's left on the schedule. I think they're going to have to be played down, underachieved for a week, which every team has those games. And if they can win those games, that one or two games where they don't play well at all, fine, but usually you lose one in the division, right? And somebody will get you in the division, and maybe that'll be the Chargers when you play them. I don't think the Raiders, I mean, forget about that. So, the Broncos are actually pretty good defensively. I don't buy their offense. So there's likely a loss somewhere in the division, but boy, that'd be amazing. If they can go undefeated, my God, that would be the ultimate one-upmanship. All my friends in Boston will lose their mind if the Chiefs go undefeated and win the Super Bowl this year. That will trump everything that the Patriots, that was the one thing they couldn't do. They were undefeated during the regular season. We all know what happened. They lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. So if the Chiefs can do that, oh, man, that would be next level.
Yeah, even more salt for the wound. It was Spagnuolo that was the coach that beat him in the Super Bowl, which is now the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, which is just more fruit for our country.
Be careful, though, Dusty. If the Chiefs win three Super Bowls in a row, don't you think he gets a head coaching job? I know he sucked as a head coach.
The theory is that he wants to just ride this out with Andy, and then they go into the sunset together. I think he's done it, right? Yeah. Like, it's like if you fail twice in marriages, why try for a third one, even if it is a pretty little trophy wife for you? Like, I've done it. I don't need to do it anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, these guys have such big egos. You know, they're so like, if one more shot. You know, if he gets the right opportunity with the right quarterback, and he could ride the defense. But you'd rather win another Super Bowl and lose your defensive coordinator than the alternative, right?
Yeah, go undefeated and win three straight. I could die and never cover sports again, and I'll be like, I guarantee you, none of you people out there will do what I just did.
Be careful. Dusty, you're a young guy. Be careful. You had a lot of life to live, Dusty.
That's right.
A lot of bad years as a sports fan.
Yeah, I'm not here for a long time, just a good time, to quote one Alan Jackson and George Strait. But in all reality, though, I do want to bring this up because we were talking about it yesterday on our show here on 96.5 The Fan, Ben. Do you think the NFL's, like, you know how it kind of changes, right? Like, you miss the NFL as an athlete for like a year, like, right? Like, Deshaun Watson missed the NFL for a year or two. He just never looked the same again. Le'Veon Bell, same sort of thing. You see the NFL kind of changing to a more defensive sound NFL and running the ball again, because your leading wide receiver going into week 9 has 674 yards, Ja'Marr Chase. May not have a 1,200-yard receiver in the NFL this year, whereas like the last couple of years, I think Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown had almost 1,000 by this time last year.
Yeah, so I don't. I mean, eventually it'll get back to where, you know, some nerd will figure out some formula where you have to run the ball more and play defense. But we're not at that point. I don't think we're anywhere near that point. You just gave some of the numbers right there. So, I don't see that on the horizon. One thing I did hear a lot of talk about, I'm sure you guys did this week, is about whether or not the NFL should have a minor league because all these young quarterbacks are terrible. And I don't know if you've heard the same thing I've heard. I've always heard the NFL owners don't want to do it because they haven't found a way to make money on the minor leagues. They lost so much money with NFL Europe. And they also don't want to take away from the NFL draft, where right now you draft a guy in the first round, he goes out, plays right away. Well, if you have a minor league system, you would put that guy in, you know, Winnipeg or wherever, and then the guy would be in the minor leagues for a year or two. So they like it the way it is. But as far as the running thing is concerned, I know I got way off the topic, but I don't foresee in the next 2 or 3 years that changing at all.
Ben, before we let you go, obviously the Chiefs in Tampa this weekend. Any other big games you're saying, put your money here? I love this game.
Well, I actually like the Broncos plus the points if you're a gambler against the Ravens. The Ravens' defense is poor. They cannot stop the pass. And Denver actually has a pretty good defense. So I actually like the Broncos. That's the one game that stands out that just jumps off the page for me. So that's one. For everything else, you got to watch the TV show this weekend. Everything else.
Ben, we appreciate the time as always. We're a week out from seeing you at the Landing next Saturday from 2 until 4. We're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to a great weekend of football as well.
Can't wait to see you guys. Can't wait to meet you. Come on down next Saturday. I can't wait for it.
That's Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, all brought to you by The Landing in Liberty, and that's where we will be next Saturday from 2 until 4 for the Maller meet and greet. You get
chicken
the Maller
fingers.
Chicken fingers. Oh, they're so good. I was telling our
Mac
friend
and I
Mac.
Going to Lady the Tramp him.
Mac, he what?
We're going to Lady the Tramp him.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, we're
okay.
Going to start at one end, dip
all
it
right.
in honey mustard, meet in the middle.
Meet in the middle. That'll be great. I was telling him how good the dry rub grilled chicken tenders are at The Landing in Liberty. They are phenomenal. They've got the best soft pretzel you ever did have. And so we're looking forward to that next Saturday from 2 until 4. Join us at the Landing in Liberty. We'll be there. We'll have some fun with Ben Maller and do a Maller meet and greet. And then we're taking him to the game on Sunday to watch the Chiefs take on the Denver Broncos, who he likes against Baltimore this weekend because Denver's got a good defense. Baltimore has no defense. I thought that was an interesting one right there. I think people are starting to kind of peek around the corner a little bit and go, is this Broncos team legit? Is this a real team right now? And they're playing a team with no defense. Bo Nix against Lamar Jackson. What happens if the Broncos win this football game against Baltimore? Will we still tell everybody that Lamar Jackson is better than Patrick Mahomes like Ryan Clark did yesterday? Or will people have to start retreating back to the bushes and go, oh, hang on a second, maybe we were too soon to crown the Baltimore Ravens?
I don't think any of those happen. I think what happens if Denver beats Baltimore, the conversation on Monday is the Chiefs have a legit threat in the AFC West since the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and they play them on Sunday, right?
Judging by what we see in the media every week, if Denver continues to play the way they are,
they're 5-3, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the number one, I believe, outside of the receiver for the Cleveland Browns,
Tillman, is that his
Cedric
name?
Cedric Tillman?
Yeah, I think he was the number one pickup fantasy-wise. Number two is Bo Nix.
Was like, Bo Nix. Oh, I thought you were going to say the Denver defense.
No, it's already been picked up.
Okay.
Like, no, the Bo Nix, I think people are starting to kind of, not necessarily, he's a great fantasy value because he runs a lot. And he, you know, tries not to turn the ball over too much.
Sure.
So you don't get those negative points. But I think if Denver were to beat Baltimore, which Ben didn't say they would, he said take the points, mm-hmm. meaning that he thinks Baltimore's defense will keep it close. I don't agree with that. I think this is one of those games where Baltimore bounces back, blows somebody out, and everybody's, like you said, back on the Baltimore train. Like, they just had a bad week. Cleveland riled behind Jameis Winston and all that sort of stuff, which could be the case.
Right.
But I think the conversation that you would have is the fact that if Denver wins, I think everybody would lean into that matchup, which would be Sunday in Arrowhead, is the fact that can the Denver Broncos knock off the Kansas City Chiefs and be the legitimate threat they are because Denver beat them last year, even though it was the flu game.
Right.
Mahomes was sick. Still like Kadarius Toney.
They played
them
tough at Arrowhead last year, though, too, on that Thursday night game.
Well,
that
didn't put them away.
Yeah.
Like, it was like they just let them hanging around. And, like, you know, that's what Russell Wilson does. Like, he doesn't do a lot. Like, he looked good on their Monday night game. I'll give him that.
Yep.
But, like, one thing that Russell Wilson has done in his career last year and what we're seeing this year is that he throws for, like, 3 yards here, 4 yards here, 2 yards here, and by the time you get to it, it's like they still have the ball. They're not moving at a fast pace,
right?
But they're not giving you the ball. And I think we can have this conversation about the Chiefs is they don't give up points in the second half, and they control the time of possession. That's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts the way that they play in the second half. They don't give you an opportunity to win in the second half of games. They really don't give you an opportunity to win in the final three quarters of a game. You got to capitalize big time early and stop them if you're going to get a win. But I thought that's an interesting game. You know, for our Cover 2 tomorrow, I'll probably discuss that Denver versus Baltimore game and how that one's going to be, you know, you'll play out. Because if Denver does lose, then they're 5-4, and the Chiefs have a 4-game lead over the rest of the division, right? Or something like that. 4-game lead over Denver anyway.
Yeah.
At that point in time. And so then you can kind of write Denver off. But I'll be honest with you, I'd like to see Baltimore lose to the Denver Broncos. I think that's good for us, right?
I think yes.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
I think it's okay to root for Denver to beat Baltimore this weekend. I think because that just starts to clear out more and more of the muck from the AFC and continues to, you know, propel us to the to that number one seed.
And to be fair, the Broncos lost their first two games of the season. They play the Seahawks and the Steelers.
Right.
Then they beat Tampa Bay. So I don't want to hear that was a good
that's
Tampa
a good
Bay
win.
Team
that was a
beat.
Good Tampa their team one, at the
their,
time.
Their yeah. one good win. It's a bottom five defense. It is their one good win.
They beat the Jets 10-9.
Right.
They beat the Raiders. They lost to the Chargers. They beat a beat up Saints team and they smacked a Panthers team that should be in Division Two.
Right.
They've not.
And now their next three games are Ravens, Chiefs, Falcons.
Ravens, Chiefs. So, you're going to learn a lot about Denver, right?
Welcome to the league.
They're going to be 5-6 in 3 weeks and out of the playoffs.
Right. Very well may be at that point in time. But that doesn't take away the fact that I'm going to be rooting for them against the Ravens this
100%.
Weekend. Because you lose this weekend if you're Baltimore, you're pretty much eliminated from any conversation of being a one seed, let alone having a home game, you know, in the playoffs at that point in time. So I'm rooting against Baltimore this weekend. And the other one we touched on, I mean, I was thinking about this, you know, in the break, this Texans Jets game. Like, I am so torn because I feel like why are the Jets the favorite?
What have you spent the last 2 months doing?
Ripping them.
And who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you been right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. But I'm sticking with this.
Bob.
I know. I understand. you're absolutely
stick
so
with
you're
your
saying
brain.
Bet the Texans
yes.
tonight. Like that's the scary part for me right now. I'm like, I know I've been right on this whole Jets thing all along. But what the hell, man? Like, what's going on with this point spread tonight?
We just had a topic. Like, you did the say it out loud with what's his face? Do it right now. Like, I talked to Ben Maller about it. Like, he's like, the Texans don't have any wide receivers. They do. They have Tank Dell.
Yeah.
They have Dalton Schultz as a tight end.
Yep.
They have Joe Mixon and they have CJ Stroud. And this Jets team just lost to Drake May and name a receiver
Fair
for the
point.
Patriots.
No, it's a great point.
They and Ramondre Stevenson.
Right, you're right.
I know he's good, but Joe Mixon is better.
Right. Yeah, the Joe Mixon wild card is a good one too.
CJ Stroud is a top five quarterback in the NFL.
You're right.
If he's not, he's six.
This is the strangest game I've seen in a long time.
It's because it's Thursday and on the road.
And it's Halloween and it's scary and spooky. And you know, and it is on the road a Thursday night.
And Aaron Rodgers is drinking
cayenne pepper water.
His hamstring isn't right.
Right.
I know he's got Devontae Adams. He's got Breece Hall. He's had him He's had Breece Hall this entire year.
That Jets defense stinks, too. 2 years ago, that Jet defense was good. This year, Sauce Gardner, man. What's the worst sauce you could have? That's what he is.
Nah, it's horseradish. Although I like horseradish.
I like horseradish. Like that horsey sauce from Arby's. Let's go.
Right. I was thinking about tricks and treats in the NFL like we talked about yesterday. Sauce Gardner, trick.
Yeah.
He's a trick, man.
He is, yeah. But
he was in the NFL? No, you're not.
He was.
For the season.
For 2 years, he was. The last 2 years, he was up. This year, he's non-existent. This year, he's not making any plays. Like, that whole operation has given up. I mean, I'm talking myself, you know,
back
into the Texans.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, what the hell? What's going on?
Weird.
Like, the Texans have a better quarterback. They have a better head coach. They have a better running back at this point in time and probably a better defense. And they're playing for something. The Jets aren't playing for anything, yet they're still a favorite in this game. And that's the conundrum, man. Like, why?
A lot of injuries for Houston.
You ready to tally on your sheet?
Yeah.
All right. Week one, Thursday night, home team one.
Okay.
Obviously, you know who that was. Chiefs.
Right.
Thursday night, week two, the away team won. Week three, the home team won.
Okay.
That was Jets and Patriots.
Okay.
Week four, the away team won.
Okay.
Week five, the home team won.
Okay.
Week six, the away team won.
Wow.
Week seven, the away team won.
Okay.
Week eight, the home team won. That was last week when the Rams won because of that call in the end zone.
Right.
This is Jets Houston. So what's our tally?
It's 4-4.
Damn.
I guess the road thing doesn't make a difference.
Doesn't clear anything up?
It makes no difference, man.
I'm just trying to help you win money.
Yeah.
Like the Texans are like, nah, man, Jets are winning. No, they're not. Like, they're not winning.
And that right there, the text line saying the Jets are winning at 2-6, I think that's why they're the favorite, because a lot of people still believe Aaron Rodgers. Like, you sit there and you look at it, you're like, it's still Aaron Rodgers. It's still Breece Hall. It's still, you know, Devontae Adams. They still got some, you know, good wide receivers on that team. Like, they can't be this bad, can they? You have the New England Patriot defensive lineman calling out Aaron Rodgers. Like, that dude was slow, man. His hamstring was blown.
The line is still +1.5 for Houston as the underdog. That is minus 110. And the money line, if you're confident in Houston, is +105. Which is, if you think Houston's going to win, don't take the spread. Take the money line.
Yeah.
Take 105. Take the plus money.
Yeah.
Hell, I'll put them on the whiteboard before the day is over.
All right.
Wow.
You're that confident. See, the thing is, though, whether the Jets win or not, like, this is like, if they don't win, then they're eliminated. They're officially done. But there's still a compelling story. Like, it's still the most compelling story in the NFL. As much as we can't stand Aaron Rodgers and hearing from him, we all listen. We all pay attention. He always has something ridiculous to say and bizarre to say. And people are like, oh, yeah, cayenne. How many people were walking around getting cayenne pepper water yesterday trying to heal their hamstrings, right? So it's still compelling. If they lose their 2-7, they are done. They're out of the postseason mix, and they ought to sell everybody on their team. But if they win their 3-6, and people go, there's an outside chance, and that keeps the media in New York alive with the Jets and the NFL loves that.
Somebody says it has nothing to do with who's on the Jets. Vegas always knows. Never good to say Vegas is wrong. Vegas was very wrong last week.
On Thursday Night Football?
On just in the NFL.
Oh, in the NFL. Yeah, they lost. Yeah, that was bad.
Vegas lost a lot. Like, there was a lot of Vegas. Vegas probably does know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and somebody asks, who does the Houston Texans have on their defensive line? Possibly the defensive player of the year,
Will Anderson. Yeah,
and he's gonna be a shark in the water with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Will Anderson's gonna eat that dude alive.
Rodgers is a statue. Everyone the whole week said he was cooked. He's done. This is coming from
Jets 37, Texans 2.
I mean, yeah. If I'm wrong, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But I feel we're all right.